It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. This is the George Williams Show, and I am George Williams. I'm your host for tonight, and I'm so glad to be here on such a very nice overcast day, but it's nice, and I love the warm weather, folks. That's why I left New Jersey. It was too cold up there, and that's why I have not visited with my son, who is in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, because it's cold up there. So we'll just wait until it gets a little warmer up there, and then I'll go and spend a few weeks up there with my new grandson, which I haven't seen him yet. Yeah, he's a year old now. I've seen him from pictures and FaceTime, but other than that, I have not. Well, folks, let me tell you something. Today's times are very, very dangerous. Dangerous, and it's pitiful of what those people are doing in Washington, D.C. It's unbelievable, folks. And that may be an understatement, okay? We need to do something. And the only reliable hope that we have are our senators, because our House is being outvoted. I think we have they have 6 or 7 majority over our Congress, so we cannot vote for anything, okay? And they have 1 vote over our Senate. Fortunately, in most of those the Senate cases, when it comes from the House, then it must be done with 60 votes. So that's our only hope, folks, because these Democrats they're unbelievable, unbelievable. And if you look at what's happening today, man, people don't want to go to work now. There are so many jobs available. How can you, as the president of the United States, you come into office when we have the lowest unemployment rate in our history? In our history. And all of a sudden, after 90 days or 100 days, 110 days, we can't find anybody to work. Okay? Unemployment is way up. Unemployment is up, folks, not because there are no jobs available, but because this stupid administration is giving all this money away. Okay? Now remember, the Republicans didn't vote for this, these giveaways. This is a socialist program. This is what they do. You look in Europe, Italy and all those countries, they have about 70% of their folks receiving money from the government. And when they get ready to cut it off, all of a sudden you have these riots all over the place. Do we want that to happen here? No, I don't think so, folks. So you have all these individuals, okay, who can get out and work, but they don't want to work. They're making more money by sitting on their behinds at home and receiving government handouts. Now, this is what the Democrats have been doing in the black neighborhoods for years, okay? They are the creator of these social programs. But now it's outside of that. It's all over the United States. And this administration takes pride in saying, oh, we're giving $300 a week, or we're going to send $1,500. You know, this is not the way a country is run. This is not the way progress is made. Progress is made by folks getting out, getting an education, and getting jobs, and creating stuff, creating things. Biden wants China to provide everything to us. President Trump said, no, we want it made here in America. And I can tell you one thing. I won't buy anything unless it's made in America. Okay? That's the way it has to be. But as soon as President Trump is out of office, what did Biden do? He erased everything. Okay? Now, remember, his son got millions of dollars from the Chinese. Is he paying the Chinese back? What the heck is he doing? We were energy independent, folks, before Biden got in. Now we are energy dependent on the oil coming from overseas, even Russia now. Okay, Biden shut our pipelines down here in the United States, but he wants the Russians to open up their pipelines. Now, does that make sense? That does not make sense. So what is happening in Washington? We must stop them. We have to stop them. And I don't mean from a barrel of a gun or anything, but we have to do it legally, okay, through the Senate. And also through the courts. Let's petition the courts. Petition them to death. That's what they did to President Trump. Everything that President Trump tried to do, they petitioned the courts. They went to the courts. Okay? And who loses? Look at this immigration. This is unbelievable, folks. This immigration, illegal immigration, is unbelievable. Okay? I worked the border area for 3 years when I was a federal agent, DEA special agent. And let me tell you, it's a lot worse now, okay? They're giving our guys the fingers when they come across the border. There are literally thousands and thousands of people lined up to come across. And this is, all they want to do is put a toe, one of their little toes, on U.S. land, okay, U.S. property. Okay, then they know that we're going to take them, we're going to put them in hotels, we're going to put them on military bases. And this did not happen under President Trump. The first day Biden got in office, he welcomed all the illegals. Come on in. And the worst thing about that, folks, we don't know who the hell they are. We don't know from which they come. Okay, we do not know. It's impossible to know. Impossible to know who these people are, and they're coming from all over the world, not just South America, not just Central America. They're coming from Africa. They're coming from Europe. The Chinese, they're coming from Southeast Asia. Chinese, you name it. The Muslims, they're coming. They're coming. And we don't know who they are. We don't know. You know, and the worst thing about it is once we allow them to come into the United States, once they get authorization to come in and get legal, then they could bring family members. And it's unlimited, the number of family members. So if we've got 15,000 at the border, and we let 15,000 in, you better believe 50,000 will follow. 50,000 were following. And who's being hurt? And I look at my black brothers and sisters out there, okay? And you're not saying anything. I'm talking about the Democrats. Who gets hurt? Who will get hurt? Well, my black brothers and sisters will be hurt, okay? You will be hurt. We are at the lowest of the totem pole right now. The more foreigners coming in, the farther down we go in society. Look at our neighborhoods. Hell, I was born right here in Mobile when I was 10. My mother and father and the 8 children went to New Jersey. I grew up there. But we had a lot of black businesses. Now we don't, folks. We do not have those black businesses. They're all foreigners. Alabama here, you had the Vietnamese who I went and fought 13 months to keep, for freedom. And now we have a lot of them here, okay? But look at our neighborhoods. We do not have black ownership in our neighborhoods. We do not have it. So to vote for the Democrat is unbelievable, and I don't know why you're doing it, but I tell you what, if you want to stay and get in a worse situation as you're in now, keep voting for the Democratic Party. Keep voting for the Democratic Party. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. I'm just so disappointed at what's happening in this administration. It is totally unbelievable. And we were supposed to have our guests coming in before we started this show, and they didn't come in, and we were going to talk about a few things. One subject we were going to talk about is Senate Bill 1, okay? That's the revitalization or redoing of the Voter Act, okay? And some of the things that the House, now that Congress passed that bill, okay? But it's in the Senate now, and we'll talk about that. And we have a guest calling in right now, and let's see. Are you there, Dr. Lou?
I am here, George.
All right. So glad to hear your voice. So glad.
Good to hear from you, and I'm glad to be able to give you some time, and we can talk about things that we were talking about the other day. And I think it's important that people understand what's going on with critical race theory and 1619. And George, today we have one more day to put our comments in on to the Federal Register, so that we can say to those people in the Department of Education that we don't want this critical race theory and 1619 to be in our schools. So I think it's important. I sent a blast out to the Alabama Conservative Coalition and other people that we have, plus Common Sense Campaign, and making sure that people get their opportunity to say no to critical race theory.
Right. Can you explain to our audience what is critical race theory?
Yeah, I mean, George, it's simple in some ways, but it's complicated in others. Okay, the simple way to look at this is that essentially, white people are inherently racist. Blacks can't be racist because they don't have power. And the only way to improve the possibility of getting rid of white racism is to seize property, seize bank accounts, and essentially follow a Marxist prescription of redistribution.
Mm-hmm.
The simplicity of this is an important aspect of its popularity, I think. It's a solution that doesn't require a whole lot of thought. It just requires people to do the kinds of things that Marxist revolutionaries have wanted to do since Marx and Lenin and the rest of these communists.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if people get a grasp the essential nature of what's going on, they're going to say no to this right away.
So right. Who's pushing this?
Well, you've got various people. Okay, you've got a professor out of, I want to say UCLA. Her name is Harris, and she's another Marxist.
Mm-hmm.
You have someone out of Columbia by the name of Kendi. I think his name is. These are two of the big thinkers along the lines of, the kinds of people who give the intellectual ammunition that's necessary to move this idea along.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely linked up to Black Lives Matter, which also is a Marxist revolutionary organization. And so what you have here is an essential attempt to use Marxism within the United States, because race has been, in the Marxist view, the single most vulnerable place for the them to gain power.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument basically is that during the Depression, for instance, communism did not make a lot of inroads into the American working class,
mm-hmm.
in part because there was, I would argue, the Roosevelt administration, reformed capitalism in this country. We call it today the welfare state, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But to a certain degree, that welfare safety net saved capitalism in this country and allowed us to do the kinds of, things that have propelled us to where you have more people of every race, every color, every background who have benefited from the capitalist system that we've seen since the 1930s. At the same time, what the communists realized is that their normal approach to try to win over the working class as an oppressed class didn't work. But what did work, in part at least, until the civil rights movement of the 1960s, was that you could find within the black community people who were willing to listen. W.E. Du Bois was another communist revolutionary,
mm-hmm.
And he made the point that, after the Civil War, what did the black freed slaves have to face? Well, they had to face Jim Crow and segregation and lynching. And all of those kinds of things led the communists to recognize, I would argue, that you have a situation now that they could take advantage of, because it was apparent that, that the promises that Lincoln made after the Civil War, before he was assassinated, just never were going to be fulfilled. And mm-hmm. I think that the communists recognized that pretty quickly. But here again, and George, this is where this fundamental trying to revise American history to fit this Marxist narrative, this is where it falls apart. Because you can certainly make the case that to a certain degree, the black minority has always had to deal with these kinds of problems I mentioned. Your parents, for instance, left Mobile because of segregation.
Mm-hmm.
You experienced that when you were younger, okay? But at the same time that is going on, you also have a movement within the NAACP and through the NAACP's Legal Defense Fund where they're attacking segregation in the school system, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It starts in 1935 with the Gaines case. And by 1954, you have Brown versus the Board of Education,
right,
which throws out segregation in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first break in the segregation regime, okay, the Jim Crow regime. And so as I look at this, it seems to me that the Marxists are now faced with another very real problem. The system is reforming itself, okay? Now, we can argue that it didn't reform as fast as it should have. It didn't include as many people as it needed to. But nevertheless, the early roots of the civil rights movement, going back, we can argue about when it really started, okay? But I would put my finger on the 1935 Gaines case, where the NAACP, for the first time, was able to move against segregation. And within 20 years, they were able to defeat segregation in the schools. Now, it took a long time to get the schools fully desegregated. I understand that. But understand, too, that from a communist perspective, that never should have happened. There shouldn't have been a reform. And yet there was.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 years after the 1954 school board, case, what happened? It's 1964, and the Civil Rights Act is passed, and in 65, the Voting Rights Act is passed. So this, to me, is the historic nature of American reform movement moving in the right direction. And I don't think the communists, with their attempts to try to subvert America and the American democracy linked to the capitalist approach to things, can sell this snake oil, because just doesn't stand up to any kind of historical interpretation. And yet, look at what's happening. You've got so many school systems, so many, you know, of the woke crowd, these younger generations feeling that this is absolutely true. And yet, George, our generation can't buy into that. We saw what was going on. You know, we saw what made your parents leave Mobile. And we, you know, and you yourself have lived through all of this. And so my argument has been all along that there's been a social and political revolution that essentially answers the communist argument that whites are so racist they can't reform. Well, BS, okay? Look what's happened. You have a political revolution, 1960, about 1,000 black officials in the United States. By 2012, you have about 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You've had a political revolution with a black president, with black secretaries of state, women and men, you know, black chief of the chief of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You know, now you have a black defense chief. I mean, what I'm suggesting to you, and black secretaries of state, across the board, at all levels of government, blacks have been able to find, you know, their way to the very top. That does not suggest systemic racism. It suggests that the American system is capable of reforming and living up to the standards, the principles of the Founding Fathers and the Declaration of Independence. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All people are created equal.
Right. Doc, we're going to go into our break. Because we got to make some money here, so can you stand by until after the break, and we'll continue?
Yes, I can stand by. I've got another call I have to make in a little while, so I can stay on for a little bit after the break.
All right, thank you, Doc. We'll be right back, folks, with Dr. Capomanoso, Dr. Lou. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. My name is George Williams. I'm your host, and we have on the line Dr. Lou Capomanoso. Dr. Lou, go ahead and continue
The break. Thank you for having me on. This is, I think, an important subject that we've got to talk about. And, you know, as I was just saying, you've had a social and political revolution that completely undermines the rationale of what the whole critical race theory business is all about. The political part I've already talked about, the social revolution, is right along the lines of exactly what Dr. King was talking about. Okay, integration has produced a revolution in the sense that in 1970s, you had 250,000 interracial marriages. Today, it's over 5 million. In fact, it's growing. 17% of all marriages today are interracial. Now, George, tell me how in the world, if all the whites are racist, that they're interracially marrying. That just doesn't square with facts on the ground. And again, these people can have their own opinions, but they can't have their own the facts, because the facts are completely different. So the real question now, George, is how do we fight this? How do we not give in to this absolutely absurd approach that's going to destroy this country, take away the unity that's there, and it's going to undermine the military? Because, hey, if all these white boys are racist and you're black and in the military, how are you going to trust them in the combat zone? You've been in combat. You know that color doesn't matter in combat. What matters is, you know, you're my buddy. We're going to beat these guys. We're not going to get killed by them. We're going to stand together. That's what that's all about.
Right.
So here is what I would argue has to be done. Number one, the grassroots movement has a serious responsibility to reply to all of this. Mm-hmm. We have got to write letters, write to our congressmen, you know, Jerry Call here, and our two senators, you know, Shelby, you know, who I don't particularly care for, but he's still there.
Right.
And we've got, you know, Tuberville. We need to make sure that those people take a vigorous negative approach to this. They have got to speak out against it. The second thing we have to do is to look at Montgomery. We have to make sure that critical race theory and 1619 do not get infected inside our school system. Mm-hmm. And so I've talked to Jackie Ziegler about this. We're going to try to get the school board to say something about it. I'm going to go to our local school board, and what we're going to ask everyone in the state is to go to their local school board and demand that critical race theory does not come on the scene. So, George, in fact, I would hope, I'll talk to you about this later, but this coming Thursday, the 20th, our school board has a meeting at 4:30 in Bay Minette.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that you can be there.
Oh, I will. I will.
We have got to have a diverse group that's saying no to this. Then the last thing we have to do is make sure that that we have the intellectual ammunition that's out there that is in paper, newspapers, articles, that basically says, as I tried to explain tonight, this is malarkey. This is not history. This is just a lot of communist revolutionary, you know, propaganda to try to get people to listen to misinformation and a false story.
Right.
The story of America is a reform story, and in the particularly within the question of discrimination, systemic racism, and all like that, we have taken care of this. It's not, the glass is not half empty. I would say the glass is half full, and that's something that, you know, many blacks can attest to. It's just not you and me talking about this.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there who see it.
But, Dr. Liu, you know, when you mention the communists and socialists, you've got to also include the Democrats, okay? Because it's part of that organization. They are pushing it. The Democrats are pushing this, okay? So it's the Democrat socialists, the Democrat communists who are doing it here in America, and that is no lie.
But, George, here's the thing. I mean, why is it that the Republicans are so afraid to tackle this? And I think you put your finger on it at our tax day rally, where you said you can't be afraid to be called a racist when you're standing up for the principles of the Declaration and the Constitution, and you're making the arguments like we have made tonight that the system has reformed.
True.
So, you know, that we have to, and this will be a test Thursday night, for us to go before that school board and have these teachers roll in their eyes, here's the yahoos again. Well, I say crap on that. We're going to challenge them and tell them exactly what I just told you tonight. This is why we can't have 1619 and why we cannot have critical race theory. It's going to destroy everything that Dr. King fought for and actually put into practice.
Right. And I agree. And this Thursday, I'll be there alongside you. So you can depend on that.
All right, George.
All right.
And as always, it's great to talk to you. Thank you. And I'll be in touch and we'll link up for Thursday, okay?
All right, Doc. Thank you. And we're going to have you on some more, okay?
Okay, guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Liu Cavamonosa, folks. And let me tell you, he knows what he's talking about. And he's fighting for Alabama, the citizens of Alabama. And we black folks, we better jump on board because we don't know what's happening out there. You don't know what's happening. I know what's happening out there. A lot of you don't because I've talked to some of you, okay? You don't know what's happening. You didn't know that Dr. Martin Luther King was a Republican. You didn't know that Andy Young, all those guys were Republican. Why do you think the Dr. King started his own organization, the SCLC? He didn't fall under the wings of the NAACP. He didn't do that. He started his own organization. It was the Congress who passed the who sponsored the bill for the Civil Rights Act, and it was the Republicans who pushed that. Gerald Ford in Congress and Edward Dirksen, Senator Dirksen. Okay, so folks, let's wise up. Okay. Let's get out from under this plantation mentality. All right, we got another call here. Hello there.
Hello, George.
How you doing, Carol?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Good, good, good. I know I talked to you before, and you had some very important information, especially happening in Washington, and we cannot allow that. Can you tell our audience what it's all about?
I'd be pleased to. And you shared at the top of your show, George, about H.R. 1 and S.1.
Right.
This is House Bill 1 and Senate 1. It's deceptively called For the People Act of 2021.
Okay.
And this is actually an attempt to federalize and micromanage the election process administered by the state. So I'd love to share with you and the listening audience what this bill is intended to do. So
please do that.
When you're ready, I've got a whole list.
We're ready. Get set. Go.
All right. Here we go. It would seize the authority of the state to regulate voter registration and the voting process by forcing states to implement early voting, automatic voter registration, same-day registration, online voter registration, and no-fault absentee balloting.
Now, Carol, hold on a second. Now, Congress, the Democrats, no Republicans took part in this in Congress. It was passed by the Democrats because they have more seats than we do. Is that correct?
That's correct. My best understanding, this was not one Republican voted for this.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, please.
Well, it would also make it easier to commit fraud. And it would promote chaos at the polls through same-day registration. Now, here in Alabama, we are so fortunate to have had a terrific Secretary of State who made sure that it was easy to vote and hard to cheat.
Right.
And what is being attempted now is making it, in my opinion, easy to cheat and hard to vote.
Right. Now, so, this is being facilitated by the Congress, right? And the Senate, the Democrats in the Senate.
That's correct. As we all know, Speaker Pelosi, when she first got a hold of that gavel in the 117th Congress, she had this bill ready. And it was the first bill to be entered into the 117th Congress.
All right, Carol. Hold on. We're getting ready to go into our last break. So if you can hold on until after this break, and you can continue, okay?
I'd be pleased to. Thank you for this opportunity, George.
All right. Thank you. We need it. Our audience need it. We'll be right back, folks. This is George Williams.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. I am George Williams, and we have our guest, Ms. Carol Wilson. And Carol, can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and so they'll know who's talking to them?
Well, thank you so much. I have been active in Republican activities for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
I first got involved in Republican activities in the great state of Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and was a part of the Trump 2016 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And then my husband and I, Charles, we retired to the eastern shore of Mobile Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked up our activities here once we were able to locate the Baldwin County GOP party,
mm-hmm.
and also the Eastern Shore Republican Women, of which I'm a member.
Right.
So by joining both of these organizations, we've been very, very active in supporting the Republican principles, supporting our great country and the Constitution and the Republic for which we stand.
Right.
And so this took me into legislative work,
mm-hmm.
and I now serve on the Legislative Research Committee. Committee for the National Federation of Republican Women,
okay.
and just got back from a conference in Alexandria, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
where I was able to talk one-on-one with the great Mike Pompeo,
mm-hmm.
and also listen to Senator Rand Paul mm-hmm. and Senator Marsha Blackburn
mm-hmm.
present their positions on the issues of cause our republic to be challenged and at stake.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fresh from that trip with a handful of information fact sheets, and am pleased to share the impact of what Senate Bill 1 would do to our republic.
All right. Okay. So, all right. Can you tell us the rest of the bad things about Senate Bill 1?
Sure thing.
It's
sure thing.
It's horrible.
And I know time is of essence and probably short, so I'm going to highlight Senate Bill 1, the For the People Act, would ban state voter ID laws.
Oh, no.
And it would force states to allow individuals to vote without an ID and merely sign a statement in which they claim they are who they say they are.
And they're U.S. citizens, and they're legally here and all that, which is nothing but a bunch of lies. That's what they're doing now. But they want to make it legal.
Exactly right. It would ban state voter ID laws. And so at the poll, when you vote, you really don't know if they are American citizens or not.
Right.
They just merely sign a statement claiming who they say they are.
Right.
And then it gets even worse. it requires states to restore the ability of felons to vote the moment that they are out of prison, regardless of uncompleted parole, probation, or restitution requirements.
Wow.
So, and Congress would not be able to override a constitutional amendment with a statute. So this is undermining the very pinnings of our Constitution.
Correct.
It would also authorize the Internal Revenue Service to engage in partisan activity.
Like Obama did. Like Obama did.
Exactly right.
Wow.
Weaponizing the IRS. And so this bill would permit the IRS to investigate and consider political and policy positions of nonprofit organizations before granting tax-exempt status.
Wow.
So this enables the IRS officials to target organizations engaging in First Amendment activity.
Mm. Wow. And this was passed by Nancy Pelosi and her all the Democrat stools in Washington.
Yes,
in
sir.
Congress.
It certainly was, and was sent on to the Senate. It just received a committee hearing, which was deadlocked, but it's the best understanding of those in Washington that Democrat Schumer, Senator Schumer, intends for this bill to make it to the Senate floor sometime this summer.
Wow.
And what they're hoping is that Senator Manchin will cave in on the 60-vote requirement, and they can push this through.
Right.
And as you and I know, George, if they seize the federal elections, and if they pack the court, it is over the United States of America and its Constitution.
Right.
We will have been completely taken over by the far-left progressives.
Right. Is that why Senator Manson's wife, they wanted to hire her?
Well, you're on to something.
They offered her, $160-some thousand job, right?
I didn't hear the exact figure, but I understood that it was a very nice
I think it was $167,000 they offered her. Senator Manson, you know, he's up for election in a year and a half, and he's in West Virginia, and he's going to get beat. And that's why he is the, you know, he's the token Democrat that that we need.
Absolutely. If he caves in on his position, there goes the 60 vote requirement.
Right.
And basically, the floodgate will open to dramatic change here in our country.
Right.
And so there's a lot of pressure on him, but right now he is standing firm.
Right.
And I have to tip my hat to him for standing firm, because I do believe he sees the damage that this Senate bill could cause. And if they do, in fact, you know, again, take over these federal elections, what the talk is that this is a 100-year power grab.
Right.
If they can put four more justices on the Supreme Court and seize the federal elections and implement what's in this bill, then they've got a power grab for the next 100 years.
Right. And Carol, I must bring this point out. All the Democrats voted for this in the Congress, and we have one black female Democrat here in Alabama, and she voted for it, Congresswoman Suell. I mean, I can't understand that.
Well, it will become a campaign issue, as you and I and the listening audience knows.
Right.
2022 is again one of the most crucial election cycles in our history.
Correct.
And each election cycle becomes more and more important because of the push to take this country over.
Correct.
And create a socialist communist country.
Right. Carol, we got about a minute and a half before we have to close down for tonight. But what else, what other highlights you have regarding that?
Well, on this bill, there are other items. I think was a 700-page bill.
Wow.
And in it, they're mandating no-fault absentee ballots.
Whoa.
Which is a tool of choice for vote thieves. It would ban witness signature or notarization requirements.
Wow.
It would force states to accept absentee ballots received up to 10 days after Election Day.
Wow.
It would require states to allow vote trafficking, or what we all know is called vote harvesting,
right,
so that any third party, including campaign staffers and political consultants, can pick up and deliver absentee ballots.
Okay. We got about 15 seconds, and we're going to have you here next week to continue this, because you got other stuff that you want to talk about.
That's great. And the voting audience, call your representatives today. They need to hear our voices of support loud and clear that we object in the strongest terms.
All right, Senate Bill 1.
Thank you, George.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, folks, that's it for tonight. A lot of information. Carol will be back next week, and we'll continue this conversation because it's too important, folks, to let go. Until next week, Vicon Dales, everybody.